And then take your seats. Glory to God. And if you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the 115th Psalm, Psalm 115 and verse number 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the house of Israel. The Bible says we have been engrafted into the national blessing of the nation state of Israel and also of the spiritual state of Israel. And so it's very important that when God says bless Israel, he's also talking about us. Hallelujah. And if you read the blessing of Abraham that God bestowed on Abraham, then you will understand that those blessings are ours too. Amen. The Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Christ became a curse for us so that the blessing could be released into our lives without a curse. Amen and amen. The Lord has been mindful of us and he will bless us. Now, when I read that scripture, the Lord showed me that there are certain people that he is not mindful of. There are certain people that just aren't on his mind. Can I give you an example? The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives uncommon favor to the humble, right? He resists the proud. You remember that scripture? God resists the proud, but he gives uncommon favor to the humble. And the Lord told me, he said that pride is a lot like HIV. Pride is a lot like HIV. You can't tell you've got it unless you take a test. Right? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you proud? And then say to them, well, how do you know? You see, the only way you can tell, you see, you say, oh, no, I'm not proud. I used to think this way. You know, I don't confess pride, blah, blah, blah. Until God told me I was in the Asda car park in Watford. Anyone been there before? Don't go there. I'm pulling into a parking space. And have you ever competed for a parking space with somebody? And then you won. You see, but here's a problem for me, right? Because of my pastor's number plate and my Christian sticker and I belong to Jesus on the back and all that kind of thing on my car. So I'm racing with this woman. It's towards Christmas. You know, everything gets hassly towards Christmas. And I'm pulling into this space and I beat this woman to it. And she just looks at me as if to say, you're so rude. Right? So I'm pulling into this Asda car park. I beat this woman. She looks at me as if to say, you are so rude. Right? So the Lord told me, he then said, like, I got out of my car and God told me, he says, go and apologize to that woman. What's that? HIV test. Right? It's a humility test. I said, Lord, I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't apologize. And that was that. I don't know what blessing I forfeited as a result of failing that pride test. How can I know? I can't rewind the tape and replay history. It was gone. Whatever God was going to do for me that day, that week, that month, that year, it was gone. I failed. Anyone else ever failed a humility test? May God forgive. I'm among good people here. Honest people. Praise God. And so the Lord showed me that there are certain people that it's not on his mind to bless them. Otherwise, it wouldn't say the Lord has been mindful of us, he will bless us. Because to every action, there's a what? Equal and opposite reaction. And God is no different. It's his law. It's one of those things. And so where I should have been going in the blessing, I obviously missed it. Now, this is the difficulty, right? What form will your humility test or your pride test take? We don't know. I know Temmie went through one with his job. You remember that one, the humility test? That was a big test. I had to go through one to get this building. The guy who oh my gosh, man, you want to know a wind-up story. We were believing God for 9 years for this building, right? So I went to this guy. They told me about this guy in the West End who is like this real property guy. He can really do, you know, great things for you and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going down now. I'm ready. You know, I'm the mighty man of God and I need a building for my, like Moses delivered the children of Israel and like Noah entered the ark. I need my ark and all this kind of stuff, right? So I'm loaded up with prayer. My car explodes on the way, so I have to park that in Hendon. I end up getting the tube down to the West End. And the guy says, he said, I've seen people like you before. He's a Christian guy. I've seen people like you before. No accountability. No blah, blah, blah. Who are you accountable to? And I'm sitting there. What do I do? Do I get up and walk out? Do I lean over the desk, pull the guy by his tie onto the desk and tell him I've got a mate called Junior who can sit on you until you poop me a building? Or do I swallow the thing and just tell him, you know, well, these are my accountabilities. You know, Ken Gotts, our spiritual father. We've got, well, we didn't know Prophet Kathy back then, but we started to, you know, telling him about Pastor Robert Ampiakwofi in Ghana, that we're also part of the Elim movement and everything like that. And I just swallowed humble pie. Within 2 weeks, the guy had me this building here. What was that? Humility test. Humility test. Now, here's the problem, right? What form will your humility test take? That's the thing. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you look like a suspect. You see, because we've all got like, you know, I wouldn't have classed myself as a particularly proud person. But when those, God knows how to push those pride buttons, right? And we have to know that, oh, you know what? This might be a pride test. I have to do it. I have to do it. May God strengthen you as you do it in Jesus' name. It's worth it. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. And so there's something about my character. I'm a pattern-seeking animal. I like to seek patterns in things. As a six-year-old kid, I remember like learning not to walk on the cracks in the pavement. Do you remember that? Anyone else do that? Where you won't walk on the cracks in the pavement? Or you, like, I wouldn't step. If I was going to walk, I would walk diagonally. So I wouldn't touch that one or that one or that one or that. So I would walk like so that every other square, my foot would touch. I used to race the bus walking. So if the bus was moving slowly in traffic, I say, right, I'm going to race. If today's going to be, anyone else like this? No, I'm hanging here, man. I'm just hanging right here. Okay. And so, but I've always sought patterns in things. I've always looked at things and tried to discover patterns. Even on a wall, you know, if there's a blank wall there, I'll try and make out a face or try and, I don't know why. It's kind of like, do I need medical attention? No, I'm okay, okay, okay. And so that's very much my nature. And when I got born again, I started looking in the scripture for various patterns and trends. And one of the ones I found really touched my life and it really blessed me. And I want to share it with you because the Lord's told me that 2017 for us is going to be a year of expansion. And the thing about expansion, you can expand in all kinds of different ways, right? You can run to, Krispy Kreme donuts and you can start expanding in the wrong kind of way. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, yes. Well, we're all watching. And you see, but the Lord showed me that there are seven different facets of life. He said that you can put life into seven different categories, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, socially, family, and seed-wise. He said, basically, you can fit almost all of life into one of those seven categories, right? And so when God told me that this year for us would be a year of expansion, then I started to say to the Lord, well, Lord, what do you want us to expand in? And it's important that we get what the Bible calls the mind of the Spirit. Because if our mind and God's mind can flow in the same direction, how many of you know that can get us great results, right? So I started looking, and the Lord reminded me of this pattern that I'd seen in the scriptures. And I really want to share it with you today, because it's very important that we expand in the right stuff. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless those, the Bible says in verse 13 of the same psalm. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can you say amen? What a wonderful way to bless yourself by. Praise the living God forever. And I want to share this pattern with you. Ephesians chapter 1, and we are going to start with verse number 15. Ephesians 1, 15. This is the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle to the church at Ephesus, and the Bible says, all who are faithful in Christ. So this is to you and to me. In fact, turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's to you and to me. It's really important that we understand that the Word of God is God Himself speaking to us personally. That these prayers are not just prayers that were prayed by Paul the Apostle 2,000 years ago. No, these prayers are prayers that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Literally, the scripture says that all scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. Literally, God breathed these scriptures, right? And when he says that he's praying for us, that also means that it's the Spirit of God praying for us, not just Paul the Apostle in prison. Do you see what I'm saying? So these prayers that we're going to look at, that the Holy Spirit prayed for certain reasons, these prayers are to us personally, right? He says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you whilst mentioning you in my prayers, right? So there's something that has caused the Lord to be mindful, going back to that scripture we read in Psalm 115, there's something that has caused the Lord to be mindful of these people in the church at Ephesus. Are you following me so far? Okay, because I want to establish this really solid, and then I want to show it to you as a pattern and a trend. You see, there's something about patterns and trends that can enable you to do very well. Does anyone here buy and sell cars? No one buys and sells cars. I know Popsy Pete was here. Yemi, you do, in Nigeria. Oh, trucks, okay. Look at you. I don't know if it works for trucks. It may do. I don't know. But there would be some sort of pattern and some sort of trend that you could exploit if you're selling trucks, right? In the car business, for instance, if you are owning a car lot, like a yard where you're selling cars, then if it's a good spring, if you have a good spring weather-wise, then the thing to buy to sell is open-top cars. Because when people start experiencing the nice warm weather, they think to themselves, you know what, I would like an open-top car. And you can sell the same car that you couldn't sell in November for probably, I don't know, 20% less than it. You can mark up the price and you can sell it for 20% more in the spring months. Because why? It's a pattern and a trend. And people who buy and sell cars know that. So if you ever want to buy an open-top car, buy it in November. Or February. Do you see what I'm saying? Before the weather. Why? Because it's a pattern. Whether we know it consciously or subconsciously, humans are pattern-seeking animals. We do. We have these patterns and these foibles. I know where Roro is every Monday. She's in Asda. Am I right, Roro? Yes. She goes to Asda every Monday without fail. Security guard opens the door, says, morning, Roro. She says, yeah, morning. Yeah. It's one of them things. I know which shop Godfrey goes to, but we will not mention Harrods. Hallelujah. So we do these pattern things. My wife knows where I am every Friday lunchtime. Even if she's out of the country, she say, "Are you in Pret? Yeah. Are you reading the FT? Yeah. Everything's well." Then she knows it's well. That's just the way it is. If you're a car dealer and you are selling 4x4s. then you can put the prices up, particularly if it's a bad autumn, you can put the price up £500 or £1,000 on a vehicle that you couldn't sell in August, will sell in November for £1,000 more. Because when the weather gets bad, people start looking at 4x4s. Range Rovers. Vogues. Sports. Autobiographies. Shall I continue? Super chat? No, okay. But you get the point. Why? Because it's a pattern and a trend, right? Now, I want us to see something about this pattern and this trend that the Holy Spirit exposes in Scripture. Because if you know patterns and trends, you can exploit them. That's what the financial markets are all about. I still keep my hand in like financial matters and stuff like that, stocks and shares and all that kind of stuff. And people make money where patterns and trends emerge. That's just the way it is, okay? So he says here, the Holy Spirit says this through Paul. He says, having heard of your faith towards God and your love for all the brethren, I do not cease to give thanks for you whilst making mention of you in my prayers, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his call and the exceeding riches of the inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These things are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and above every name that is named, both in this age and the age to come. And he set him over all rule and established him as the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and who is in us all. Powerful prayer. Powerful prayer, very powerful prayer. But where did it start? For this reason, when I heard of your what? Your faith and your love. Powerful prayer. And this isn't just some 2,000-year-old book. This is the Holy Spirit. Now, every time you pray those prayers, they are current prayers. They're what I call the standing prayers of the Holy Spirit for the church. That's for you and for me. Standing prayers, standing orders in heaven. So we would say this, well, if I fulfill the criteria of walking in faith and love, they're like two legs of the body of Christ, then I fulfill the criteria for the blessing as well. Can you say amen? So look at Colossians chapter 1. I want us to look at this one now. Colossians 1, and I think it's verse 5. Let's start there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's start at verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. Thank you. Since we heard of your what? Your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard from the word of truth, the gospel. Verse number 8, you'll see it here. He also informed us of your love in the Spirit. So they've got love in double measure. And they've got faith and love, right? We just read it in verse number 4. So in verse number 9, he starts this prayer. Remember again, this is the Holy Spirit praying for this church at Colossae. Again, all who are faithful in Christ. If the book of Colossians doesn't refer to you, then you need to tear it out of your Bible and burn it. Amen. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, heard of what? Your faith and your love. We have not ceased to pray for you. Oh, so this is the Holy Spirit at it again, praying again. And ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. Keep going. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of him, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him, strengthened with power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Where did it start? Faith and love, right? Amen. And this is one great thing. Flip back a verse there, Gifty, to verse number 13. See the word there, transferred. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. Anyone got a New King James Bible there? What word does it say instead of transferred? Translated. He translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I love that translation, right? Because if you change, for instance, English pounds into American dollars, what do you have now? You have American dollars, right? If you change, let's use Ghana, Ghana CDs into English pounds, what have you got? Pounds. You haven't got CDs anymore. Why? Because they've been translated. Do you see the difference? They're not the same anymore. Right. If you have darkness and it's translated to light, what does it become? Right. If you have the dead coming to life, then what has it become? It's become alive. Right. If you were blind, what has blindness become? Sight. If you were deaf, what has deafness become? Hearing. Do you see what I mean? They've been translated. So as for you and for I, you see, we're not just, when you're born again, you're not just a born again person. No, you have been born again. We just read it. He has rescued us, past tense, from the domain of darkness, and he has translated us. So let me put it this way, right? The old things that used to come looking for you, once you're born again, they can't find you. Why? You've been translated. It's like looking, it would be like somebody who changed their pounds into dollars, then opening their wallet and looking for pounds. Well, you're not going to find them. Why? They've been translated, right? They've been translated. You and I have been translated. We have been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God. Hallelujah to Jesus, for he rescued us. Where did this start? Faith and love. Are you catching this thing? It's a pattern. It's a very, very powerful pattern. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thess 1. We'll start with verse 3. I hope you're catching this, because our year of expansion, God wants us to expand in faith and love. Absolutely, most certainly. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Can you see a little bell ringing in heaven every time the Lord sees faith and love in somebody? Faith and love in your family. Faith and love in your cell group. Faith and love in your marriage. Faith and love in your place of work. Even when people are persecuting you, being kind to them back, it speaks volumes. And if you've got faith and love, then you'll be on God's mind. Look at what he prays here. This is one of the most powerful prayers in Scripture. Again, prayed by the Holy Spirit through Paul for us. Verse 11 of the same chapter. He says, to this end also, what end? The end of faith and love. Amen. To this end, we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. 12. So that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him. You often hear people say, quoting that Old Testament scripture, oh, I am the Lord. I will not share my glory with another. And that's fine if you're living in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, God shares his glory. In fact, the Bible says, we just read it there, God puts his glory in us. His glory is alive and active in me. and I am in him, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you glorified in him. Can you see that? So God is causing us to be partakers of his glory. Jesus prayed it in John, I think it's around the 17th chapter, that the same glory that was in us may be in them also. So for us to say that God won't share his glory with another is to put ourselves back 2,000 years pre-cross. God is delighted to share his glory with me, and I am so glad because I give it to him. I don't hold it for myself. Jesus even said it himself. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. But let me tell you, like a Christian without the glory of God active in their life, I don't know, it's like a hamster without a wheel. Okay, we'll let that one rest. Look what he says, so that the name of the Lord Jesus, where did this glorification process start? Where did it start? Having heard of the faith which is in you and your love for all the saints. Very, very powerful pattern. Very, very powerful trend. Let's turn to Philemon. I want us to see this one as well. Go to Hebrews and turn left. You'll find Philemon. Tiny little one chapter book. Philemon, verse 6. Or let's start with verse 4, actually. Sorry. I thank my God always. You know what? Can I say this, guys? If you can't see the pattern and the trend now, you're blind or deaf or both. Right? Am I telling you the truth? There's a pattern here, right? Okay, there's a pattern. What are we going to do about it? If there's a pattern here, then what are we going to do about it? Exploit it. Patterns and trends are there for us to exploit. In the good sense, I don't mean, you know, in the manipulative bad sense. Verse 4, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. Why, Holy Spirit, why are you praying through Paul the Apostle for this person and therefore for me? Because I hear of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Verse 6. Now this to me is one of the most powerful prayers of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. There's 7 in total, and this one I think is either my number 1 or my number 2. I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. That word effective there is the Greek word energeo. We get the word energy. Energeo, literally full of power to achieve results. This is what God is saying. He said, I pray that the sharing or the koinonia, the intimate sharing of your faith, may become full of power to achieve results through the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. Do you notice, my brother and sister, he didn't say the bad thing. Aren't we great at telling God the bad things that's in us? Oh God, I'm so miserable. I'm so unworthy. Woe is me, for I am undone. When I consider you, Lord, I am just a worm. I think God knows that. If you were God, wouldn't you like to hear something different? Wouldn't you like to, like, tell me something new, dude? I look at you every day. Look at the state of you. At least put some faith in your prayers and start acknowledging every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. Father, by your blood, I have access by a new and living way. Lord God, because of your strengthening on the inside of me, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Because of your blessing on my life, you've made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender to many nations and not the borrower. Hallelujah to Jesus. I am what I am by the favor of God. Wow. If you were God, which one would you prefer to hear? Huh? This one, definitely. 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 And he gives us a hint here. He says, like, let this thing be in you. Let it come out of you at every opportunity. I remember one time my daughter, Abby, she was probably about, I don't know, she was about 5 years old or so. And we were having a party in our house, I think, But when we lived in St. Albans area, the house was full. I think there was like a Christmas party or something like that. And Abby comes bursting into the room one day. She like with all this people around, she goes, ta-da, like this. Everyone turned around at the same thing. She just looked and she went, and ran off again. Because suddenly the attention of everyone was, and often, you see, we can be like that in the presence of God. Because why? Because our faith hasn't become full of power to achieve results by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in us by Christ Jesus. So this is one way to build our faith. I remember the story of John Lake, one of the generals, the God's generals we have out there on the wall, the black and white pictures. He used to shave himself every day. He used to look in the mirror and preach to himself and say, God is in this man. I can see the presence of God in this man. What a way to start the day. How wonderful and how awesome to actually stand with God. But my brother and sister, where did it all start? Where did it all start? Faith and love. Faith and love. The two, may it be the two legs of Harvest Church, faith and love. Everything we do in faith. Everything we do in love. Faith and love. Faith in, you see, I'm not walking on the cracks. See, I'm still seeking those patterns and everything like that. You see, there's something about the nature of the Holy Spirit. When you line up with his nature, when you line up with God, when you start agreeing with God, and some people, they even end up on this road by accident, right? You remember the story of Cornelius, the centurion, right? He's in this place praying. I can't remember where it is. I can never remember where he was praying in his house anyway. And it's a 63-kilometer journey from where Peter the apostle is sitting there praying. Peter the apostle, he's on a rooftop right there praying, and all of a sudden a sheet comes down. Do you remember that story? And there's all kinds of like weird looking animals, and they say to him, kill and eat. He says, no, I can't touch what's unclean. He says, you know, but I'm confused. Next thing, there's a knock at the door because an angel has appeared to this guy, Cornelius. He said, Cornelius, your prayers and your giving, your alms have risen as a memorial for me. Go and send to the house of Peter, and you'll find one there praying. Simon, who's called Peter, he's praying. Behold, he will come and tell you words by which you'll get saved. So the angels orchestrate this meeting, right, between Peter the apostle and Cornelius the centurion in the 10th chapter of Acts. And my Bible says that when you read scripture, right, it says repent and believe, right? So there's a thing about believing and repenting, but you can't find that in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. This meeting that God sets up himself, the Holy Spirit orchestrates it with his angels. He brings Peter 2 days' journey, and he's there at the house of Cornelius the centurion. And Peter's preaching, and he says, everyone, he says, in every nation who fears God and who does what's right, this blessing can be theirs, etc., etc., etc. And the Bible says this, it says, while that Peter was yet preaching. So Peter didn't even get to the end of his message. Right? Now, you imagine that in all reverence that this is the presence of the Holy Spirit on the place, right? And Peter's preaching, the guy's there, he's ready, and he's just like sitting there intently ready to receive this amazing revelation about the presence of God. This thing has been orchestrated by angels. And Peter's preaching away. He hasn't even got to the bit where it talks about repentance. The Holy Spirit's like, well, yeah, Peter, man, just carry on preaching, but I'm coming. Bam! And all of a sudden, the Bible says they started praying in tongues and worshiping and glorifying God. And Peter looks back astounded. He says, you know, my formula is busted. You know, I've got this repent and believe formula. I didn't even get to the bit where it says repent, and these guys have been filled with the Holy Spirit already. Wow, why? You see, because the Spirit of God, he will move wherever we give him license to. He will, that's his nature. He will visit, even given half an opportunity to come and bring a blessing. That place was never the same, and Cornelius was the first ever Gentile to be saved according to the New Testament type and shadow. What a wonderful God we serve. So can you imagine then if we put faith and love to work? Number one, all those prayers that we just read, how many prayers was that? That was Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Philemon. That's four out of the seven prayers that the Spirit of God prays as standing prayers in the New Testament are put into action by two ingredients, faith and love. Wow. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Stand to your feet right now. I want us to pray. I want us to thank God for his word, but I want us to become active in the realm of faith and love. I want us to deliberately, this year of expansion is coming. It's going to be upon us quickly. I don't know about you, but the month of November and December moved very quick. 2016 was our year of conquest. And what we've learned in 2016, we must always put to work in 2016 and 2017 and beyond. But on top of those things, we must add these things. This year of expansion, faith and love must be our two greatest priorities in 2017. Whatever else is on the agenda, we must have faith and love right up there. The two legs of the body of Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord God, that you have empowered us. You have enabled us to live and to move and to operate in supernatural faith and in supernatural love. And Father, Lord God, we commit to exercising those two ingredients in 2017, Lord God, and way beyond, Father. And as we do, Father, I pray that these prayers that we have studied today may become active and alive and full of power to achieve results, Lord God. That in 2017, Lord, we will see where our faith and our love will take us, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I give you glory. I give you praise and honor. Let it be, Father, let it be said of Harvest Church that Harvest is a loving people, that we are a community of believers. We love together. We pray together. We laugh together. We cry together because we are together. Let your banner be raised. And let your glory be seen, Father. And let the nations see and be glad of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.